Our reading this morning is taken from John 21, verses 1 to 14. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he was stripped for work, jumped into the water and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from the shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them: fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name is Ruth, and I am part of the Breakfast Church team. I live in St. Ives, and it's really good to be sharing this with you today. Breakfast on the beach. It's quite surreal coming from my living room. But the good news is that we may be in lockdown, but our Father in heaven knows no bounds. So let's lift our eyes to him this morning. As we begin, let us pray. Grant, O God, that in the written word and through the spoken word, we may behold the living word, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you have a Bible, it would be really good to look at this passage in John, John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. And I wonder, what did you notice? Were there any words or phrases that stood out to you as the Bible was read to us? So let's look at this beautiful story a little closer and see what it has to say to us this morning. There is so much detail. I wonder what you noticed. So let's look at verse 1. Jesus appeared again to his disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. And this is how it happened. The disciples had made the long trek back from Jerusalem to Galilee. It was home for them. Why were they there? Cast your minds back to Matthew chapter 28. It is the scene at the tomb, and the women are there. Matthew says this: "Then the angel spoke to the women. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." This was the message from the angel to be passed on to the disciples. Of course, we have no idea as to the timeline of their return. The seven disciples were a mixed bunch: impulsive Peter, factual Thomas, loyal and faithful men like Nathaniel, and the sons of Zebedee, or Thunder as they were nicknamed, probably not noted for their quiet, patient personalities. What are they doing? How are they feeling? These followers of Jesus have witnessed so much, and now it's time to start looking after themselves again. And so they return to what they know, and where they know: home, a safe place. Look at verse 3. Peter announces that he is going fishing, and the others join him, seemingly without hesitation. But strangely for experienced fishermen, they fish all night and catch absolutely nothing at all. Try and imagine the scene as dawn breaks. Sunlight filters over the hills, a light mist over the water, and a voice calls out, "Hello, have you caught any fish?" "No," they reply. Then the man on the shore tells them in verse 6 to cast their nets on the right-hand side of the boat to catch some fish. And as they did so, the catch was overwhelming. Look at verse 7. In an amazing moment, suddenly the disciple Jesus loved, John, realizes that he recognizes Jesus' voice. Perhaps he remembers the scene, not unlike this one, when they had fished all night and caught nothing, in Luke 5. Maybe the message from Mary that the angel had sent them, saying, "He will go ahead of you to Galilee," suddenly makes sense. The penny drops. Everything falls into place. And he cries out in joy, "It is the Lord! It is the Lord!" Hearing this, ever-impulsive Simon Peter grabs some clothes, jumps into the water, and heads to the shore as the other disciples follow on in the boat. In verse 9, when they all arrive on the shore, there is already fish sizzling over the hot charcoal fire, heat rising in the cold morning air, and the sound of the sea gently shushing behind them. Jesus is not serving supper this time. That was the last meal of their old life together. This is the first meal of their new life together. A resurrection breakfast prepared by Jesus. Isn't it very interesting that so many of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances have something to do with food? Food is at the centre of the resurrection stories, twice in Luke's Gospel. First on the road to Emmaus, where Jesus is made known to two of his disciples in the breaking of bread. And also when he appears to them all and eats a piece of broiled fish in their presence. Then there is this first breakfast, with its echoes of another meal by the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed everyone that was present that day. So many stories about Jesus are set around sharing food. We all need to eat, and human beings like to eat with others. One of the powerful things about food is it provokes memories. Almost any celebration will involve food. Weddings, christenings, birthdays and anniversaries. sharing food in life's milestones connects us. Food nourishes and sustains us both physically and spiritually. We share the bread and wine in communion together as we remember Christ's death and resurrection. Remember, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "He is the bread of life for those who follow him." In this story, of course, there is the abundance of the fish, 153 large fish. And yet, unlike Luke 5, the nets hadn't torn with such a large catch. What a wonderful abundance of large fish. No wonder the fishermen recorded how many. Doesn't this speak to us of God's great provision and generosity after a night on the water? I am sure the disciples would have been happy with a lot less, but surely this shows us that God will provide for his people abundantly and without measure. One of the characteristics of God is generosity, not a sensible, give them what they need kind of God, but a God whose heart overflows with loving kindness, richness, and a desire to bless us. Jesus invites the disciples to breakfast with him. However, you might like to cast your minds back to the courtyard in Jerusalem, where three different people in Matthew 26 asked Peter if he was with Jesus. And each time Peter denied knowing his Lord. So you might think that perhaps the first thing Jesus would do is to speak to Peter about his failure to acknowledge him on that dramatic night. Surely this is what forgiveness looks like. Jesus didn't say, "Peter, I need a word with you. We have something to discuss." No, Jesus said, "Come and eat breakfast." There is abundant grace, mercy and forgiveness at the heart of God. No matter what we have done, God in his mercy, grace and forgiveness welcomes each one of us today. That is not to say that there wasn't to be a reckoning with Peter. You might like to read on later today and remind yourself how Jesus rehabilitated Peter after his fall from grace in the courtyard. But here we witness Christ's compassion and love to his wayward disciple Peter. And finally, have you recognised Jesus for who he is? Can you say with the Apostle John, "It is the Lord"? Witness the grace, mercy and forgiveness demonstrated to Peter by Jesus at this first breakfast. Know that God demonstrated his love for each one of us on the cross, that we might be forgiven for our deepest and darkest sin. When we trust in Jesus, we are reconciled and redeemed by Jesus' death. Jesus took the punishment that we deserve on the cross, that we might know God and have eternal life in his name. "Now come and have breakfast," says Jesus. It is a new day with new possibilities. This would be the beginning of the disciples' ministry as witnesses to the life, death and resurrection of the Son of God. They would continue the work, preaching the forgiveness of sins, the way of new life in Christ, and bringing others to be disciples of the risen Lord Jesus. Just as Jesus had prepared a welcoming breakfast that morning on the beach, may we be assured of Christ's abundant generosity, his overwhelming love and forgiveness, and know that there is always a welcome for each and every one of us at the heart of God this morning. Amen.